civil forum on the presidency. I guess you got my invitation. We're here at Saddleback Church here in Lake Forest, California. Now, we believe in the separation of church and state, but we do not believe in the separation of faith and politics, because faith is just a worldview, and everybody has some kind of worldview. It's important to know what they are.
The familiar voice of Rick Warren. Wow. Has this thing made the news? Of course, one would expect it to. You get both of the presumptive candidates for the presidency about 80 days out from what's considered to be a groundbreaking election in 2008, and you get them in your church for a couple hours to sit down one-on-one with your pastor, in this case Rick Warren, and it's televised all over the place and it's on the internet, and you get them to answer a series of questions, pretty much the same questions, not a debate, but just sit down and tell us what you think about these things. I guess it should make news. I dare say this is probably the first of its kind. Although, if I know Rick Warren, not the last of its kind. The Saddleback Civil Forum on the presidency, Barack Obama was there, along with John McCain, and they both answered pretty much the same questions. We brought some of those questions forward into the second hour of the program, and we want to hear the answers, and we want to hear your reaction as well. Audio open lines for this hour of issues, etc. We're coming to you live Monday, August the 18th. You can join us, 1-877-623. I'm Todd Wilkin. You can also email us right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org. Now we're going to play some of the audio, Rick Warren's questions, and the answers of the candidates. And then we want to hear from you. They're answering questions on things like abortion, embryonic stem cell research, the courts, marriage, in particular gay marriage, although the term gay marriage, I don't know if that gets mentioned in the questions or the answers. I wanted to know what you think about both candidates making the trip out there. Non-debate format, although heavily televised and heavily covered by the press, to answer the questions of Rick Warren. 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-MYIE, or talkback@issuesetc.org. First up is a question on abortion from Pastor Rick Warren to Senator Barack Obama.
Let's deal with abortion. 40 million abortions since Roe v. Wade. You know, as a pastor, I have to deal with this all the time. All of the pain and all of the conflicts. I know this is a very complex issue. 40 million abortions. At what point does a baby get human rights, in your view?
Well, you know, I think that whether you're looking at it from a theological perspective or a scientific perspective, answering that question with specificity, is above my pay grade. Let me just speak more generally about the issue of abortion, because this is something obviously the country wrestles with. One thing that I'm absolutely convinced of is that there is a moral and ethical element to this issue. And so I think anybody who tries to deny the moral difficulties and gravity of the abortion issue, I think, is not paying attention. So that'd be point number one. But point number two, I am pro-choice. I believe in Roe versus Wade. And I come to that conclusion not because I'm pro-abortion, but because ultimately I don't think women make these decisions casually. I think they wrestle with these things in profound ways, in consultation with their pastors or their spouses or their doctors and their family members. And so for me, the goal right now should be, and this is where I think we can find common ground, and by the way, I've now inserted this into the Democratic Party platform, is how do we reduce the number of abortions? Because the fact is that although we've had a president who's opposed to abortion over the last 8 years, abortions have not gone down. And that, I think, is something that we have to ask.
Have you ever voted to limit or reduce abortions?
Well, I am in favor, for example, of limits on late-term abortions, if there is an exception for the mother's health. Now, from the perspective of those who pro-life, I think they would consider that inadequate. And I respect their views. I mean, one of the things that I've always said is that on this particular issue, if you believe that life begins at conception, then, and you are consistent in that belief, then I can't argue with you on that, because that is a core issue of faith for you. What I can do is say, are there ways that we can work together to reduce the number of unwanted pregnancies so that we actually are reducing the sense that women are seeking out abortions? And as an example of that, one of the things that I've talked about is how do we provide the resources that allow women to make the choice to keep a child? You know, have we given them the health care that they need? Have we given them the support services that they need? Have we given them the options of adoption that are necessary? That, I think, can make a genuine difference.
Okay.
All right, that's Senator Obama at the Saddleback Civil Forum on the presidency answering Rick Warren's question. And I thought it was a great question, by the way, because he could have asked all sorts of questions regarding abortion. But he asked the right question, as far as I'm concerned, about abortion. When does a baby get human rights? Which is kind of a more roundabout way of asking the Scott Klusendorf question, who is the unborn? Is the unborn a full member of human society that is deserving of our protection in law? Human rights? Or not? So when does the baby get human rights? What do you make of Barack Obama's answer to that question? 1-877-623-MYIE. We'll hear from Senator McCain on the same question in just a moment. Talk back at issuesetc.org. What do you make of his initial response when he says, well, as to the question of when a baby gets human rights, that's above my pay grade? Now, I know we don't pay our presidents like we pay our athletes or our celebrities. But president's kind of top of the heap when it comes to making decisions. He may not be the highest paid guy, but I can't think of a pay grade higher than his when it comes to responsibility. He says he's pro-choice but not pro-abortion. What do you think about those statements? 1-877-623-MYIE or talk back at issuesetc.org. Same question for Senator John McCain.
Let's deal with abortion. As a pastor, have to deal with this all the time, every different angle, every different pain, all the decisions and all of that. 40 million abortions since Roe v. Wade. Some people who believe that life begins at conception would say that's a Holocaust for many people. What point is a baby entitled to human rights?
At the moment of conception. I have a 25-year pro-life record in the Congress, in the Senate, and as President of the United States, I will be a pro-life president, and this presidency will have pro-life policies. That's my commitment. That's my commitment to you.
Okay. We don't have to go longer on that one.
Okay. Rick Warren's satisfied with the answer. The audience is obviously happy with the answer. Are you satisfied with Senator McCain's answer on abortion at the Saddleback Civil Forum on the presidency that was held this weekend out there at arguably one of the more famous megachurches in the United States with one of the more famous pastors, Pastor Rick Warren? 1-877-623-MYIE or email your questions, your comments to talkback at issuesetc.org. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're coming to you live this Monday. It's the 18th of August. All right, let's go to the phones and see what DB has to say. DB is waiting in his car. Thanks for waiting.
Hey, Todd. Obama's response was the entire response was designed to avoid the question. And I think what's most interesting about it, besides the whole pay grade comment, is the compartmentalizing of faith and science, or faith and logic, or whatever would be his alternative, so that when he talks about people who believe that life begins at conception and says he respects that, he compartmentalizes that to faith. And so therefore, I think really in doing that says, well, those people are coming from a religious position. And while I would agree that that's a fundamental tenet of Christianity is the creation of people in the image of God and the recognition that life is precious. Nonetheless, it's not something that you can compartmentalize like that. McCain, really quick, McCain, I appreciated his response, because I don't think there's many politicians who are willing to make the statement life begins at conception, even when they're supposedly pro-life. I like that he just said that directly. Of course, he was in a crowd where he knew that that would be a popular position, so it's somewhat political. And also, I think there's some questions about McCain in regard to stem cells, which I say his stem cell research, which may be inconsistent with that position.
Yeah, so. We have some of that audio, too, and hopefully we'll have time to share it with you during Audio Open Lines. DB, thank you very much. Very perceptive, by the way. When Senator Obama was answering the question near the end of his response, he said, well, if you believe that life begins at conception, I won't argue with you. I can't argue with you because that's a strongly held, he called it an issue of faith. As though those who believe that life begins at conception have no science to back it up. But if they want to believe that, fine. I mean, it's kind of kooky, but it's an issue of faith. And who's going to argue with someone's quote-unquote issue of faith? Although Senator Obama is against late-term abortions, too, is that for him an issue of faith? When we come back, more audio from the Saddleback Civil Forum on the presidency. It's Audio Open Lines, Issues, etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. 1-877-623-MY-IE or talk back at issuesetc.org. If you're a talk radio junkie like me, you might assume that the programming is free. Commercial advertisers pay for the production costs and staff salaries. Well, that's true for most talk radio shows, but not for Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is listener-supported. We rely upon you to pay for the production, salaries, and airtime costs for this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin, asking you to consider making a financial gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or donate by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. That's Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Remember, unlike other talk radio shows, Issues Etc. needs your financial support. We depend upon you for the continuation and expansion of Issues Etc. Thanks for your consideration.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues Etc.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring Issues Etc. back. Christina Whitmore, Dan Block, Pastor Rick Petty, Kirk Taylor, Daniel Gard, Rebecca Welton, Pastor Douglas Bauman, Michelle Bauman, Joanne Linninger, and Stephen Schreiner. Thanks for your support.
Ah, the sounds of rich liturgy and historic Christian worship. What a way to spend a Sunday morning. At Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstadt, Illinois, you'll find authentic Christianity as you hear the preaching of Christ crucified for the forgiveness of your sins. Come, join us Sunday mornings at 9 and Monday evenings at 7:30. And find out more about Trinity Lutheran Church, Millstadt, Illinois, at trinitymillstadt.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're listening to the Saddleback Civil Forum on the presidency. Rick Warren asking some interesting questions of the two candidates for president, Senator Obama, Senator McCain. We heard from them on abortion in a minute. We'll hear from them on embryonic stem cell research. 1-877-623-MY-IE or talk back at issuesetc.org. We're coming to you live this Monday, the 18th of August. Sandy's listening and waiting on her cell phone. Hi, Sandy.
Hi, Todd. I appreciate your airing this debate, because I read about it in the papers and I was curious as to how it went. First of all, as you said, Obama did not answer the question. He skirted around it just about every way he could. But I wanted to comment on the late-term abortion for the health of the mother. I heard the doctor that started the whole abortion movement, and his name is escaping me right now, but he's from New York, and I heard he's now passionately pro-life, and I heard him speak on late-term abortions or abortions for the sake of the mother, and he said there is no medical condition in this day and age that requires an abortion to correct, that they can support a mother completely through a pregnancy, or they can do a C-section in time to save the life of the mother and the baby. So a late-term abortion is not necessary. In fact, it's extremely traumatic to the mother. It involves turning the baby upside down, as everybody knows, so they can, you know, get the head out last and suck the brains out before the head is delivered. I also heard that Obama supported a bill that would have allowed doctors to terminate the life of a baby even 30 minutes after it was born if they determined that it wasn't perfect or if it was you know, not wanted by the mother for whatever reason. Had you heard that?
I had not heard that, although I must say I haven't been paying as close attention to all of the prospective bills that may have been, you know, gotten the senator's support. I think we probably would have heard about that in a more mainstream forum if that were true. I mean, that would be basically sanctioning infanticide by anyone's definition. Thank you very much for the call, Sandy. Yes, this the name of the doctor you're thinking about is Bernard Nathanson, and it's true, there is absolutely no reason, no necessary reason for a late-term abortion that has to do with the health of the mother, although Senator Obama is repeating a lot of boilerplate there. It is, well, I'll agree to some regulations as long as we have this loophole that renders all regulations moot. I think that's what it amounts to in the end. Here's Mark calling from his car. Hi, Mark.
Hey, Pastor Todd. A couple of things. First thing, I thought Rick Warren did an absolutely great job in interviewing both candidates. I think, and I got to say, I read some of the transcript today. I thought he did a better job than just about anybody I've heard in the last couple of election cycles. Secondly, it seems to me what Obama does is he wants to do two things. He wants to confuse the issue. This whole business about his above his pay grade, it's almost like, you know, has God said, when God has been, you know, spoken quite plainly. And then, you know, so he wants credit for being caring, but at the same time, as you just said, you know, he's going to have a loophole that renders all his talk of caring moot. And secondly, I was really impressed with McCain, and I'm not really wild about McCain. But the man speaks plainly, you know, and it seems to me that, again, Obama doesn't say what he means. I'm not sure if he means what he says because, again, he's looking for that loophole that renders everything he says moot.
Mark, thank you very much, and thanks for listening there in your car. I agree on the – I mean, I listened to probably 99% of the Civil Forum, and I think Rick Warren did a very good job, almost to the point of me wondering at one point this afternoon while preparing for the show whether or not Pastor Warren missed his calling. Whether or not he ought to be hosting maybe a cable talk show. I mean, I find his theology, the things he's written on theology, far less troubling than any questions he was asking the candidates at the Civil Forum. Jane is on the line in Arnold, Missouri. Hi, Jane.
Hi, Todd. One thing, as soon as they say something, you have the most wonderful way of cutting to the chase and putting it how it is. Three times Obama voted that vote that the lady was talking about when he was in Chicago, and I heard it on mainstream media.
What in particular did he vote for?
To go ahead and kill the baby if it was born alive during an abortion. And that would just be plain murder, you know, by anything. But he voted three times to have that three different votes.
Hey, will you do me a favor?
Mm-hmm.
Will you, if you could just track down the wherever you read that in whatever forum?
It was in the radio.
All right. I mean, if you can remember where you heard it or where you read it, just email me just the name so I can see if it's so. Thank you so much, Jane. Yeah, it's. Okay, I said that it would be infanticide by anyone's definition. I got to take that back. There are certain people. In fact, one of the more prominent bioethicists in the United States, Peter Singer at Princeton University, that has suggested that infanticide is a viable option not only 30 minutes after birth, but 2 months after birth. Parents should have the leeway to decide whether they want to keep their baby for up to 2 months after the child is born. And I'm not making it up, folks. Look, let's just be clear.
abortion is also infanticide. It's only infanticide hidden by the wall of the womb, but it's infanticide nonetheless. Susan in Mississippi emails us. She says, I sure wish Obama would deign to discuss with you these very same issues. You have seen the split between two of his answers. I find it very telling that while he finds meaning in Christ's words telling us that whatever we do for the least of creatures, we do it for him, he could not recognize that among the very least of these creatures are the unborn. Makes me think. Well, Susan, thank you very much. You're right. In fact, in another answer, when they were talking about faith-based initiatives, we probably won't have time to get to today, maybe tomorrow, Barack Obama talks about our nation failing to consider the needs of the least of these. How could we not include among the least of these the unborn? Warren emails us and he says, ask Senator Obama at what age his children first had human rights. That's a great question. Or you might ask, if you come across someone who's pro-choice, just ask them, when did you first get human rights? Hadley Arkus has written a tremendous book on this, the name of which escapes me. But he is one of the principal authors of the Born Alive Infants Protection Act. Hadley Arkus has written a book that basically asks the question, when do these rights, in particular women's rights, attach to the women? Do they attach to women at the time of conception or after they're born? And who gives them the rights, government? Or are these rights, as some of our founding documents might say, are these rights intrinsic to us as human beings, bestowed upon us by our Creator, inalienable from our existence as human beings? Well, here's Senator John McCain. Someone had asked the question about embryonic stem cell research and his positions there. He was asked about this by Rick Warren at the Civil Forum at Saddleback.
Another issue of stem cells. Now, we've had this scientific breakthrough of creating pluripotent stem cells through adult stem cells.
Yes.
So would you favor or oppose the federal funding of embryonic stem cell research since we have this other breakthrough?
For those of us in the black community, this has been a great struggle and a terrible dilemma because we're also taught other obligations that we have as well. I've come down on the side of stem cell research, but I am wildly optimistic that skin cell research, which is coming more and more into focus and practicability, will make this debate an academic one.
Okay, other obligations is the little snippet that sticks out to me in McCain's response there. It's a struggle because we have to weigh other obligations. What about you? Now, his position on embryonic stem cell research has been in support of it in certain cases. And some people say, well, this really takes with the left hand what he attempts to give as a pro-lifer with the right. Do you agree? 1-877-623-MY-IE. We're listening to some audio from the Saddleback Civil Forum on the presidency. Rick Warren asking the questions, Senators McCain and Obama giving their answers. It wasn't a debate, by the way. The two men appeared briefly on the stage together, I think at the end, but when the questions were asked and the answers were given, the two men were separated. They both gave their separate answers to these questions. 1-877-623-MY-IE or talkback@issuesetc.org. So, what do you think of Senator McCain's answer on embryonic stem cell research? He seems optimistic about new ventures for non-embryonic stem cells to be beneficial to people with diseases and infirmities, and yet he did not back down on his support for embryonic stem cell research. That is, stem cells that are harvested from human embryos, destroying the human embryos. If human rights attach to a baby at the moment of conception, what about the baby that is the human embryo? I mean, it's nothing more than, some would say, the product of conception. But a conception has taken place. Does that embryo deserve human rights? He's already said yes in one answer and apparently, at least in part, no in another. When we come back from this break, we'll hear from Senator Obama what he had to say in answer to the same question on embryonic stem cell research. 1-877-623-MYIE. We're coming to you live this Monday. It's the 18th of August. I'm Todd Wilkin. Email your questions or your comments to us right here in the studio. We get them in real time. Talkback@issuesetc.org. Talkback@issuesetc.org. Taking with the left what he gives with the right? There is a certain inconsistency there. Let's see how consistent Senator Obama is on his answer regarding embryonic stem cell research after this.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. 24/7? Check out our website, issuesetc.org, and click on-demand audio. Listen at the gym, in your kitchen, in your garden, on your iPod, your computer, or in your car. The technology may be new, but the truth never changes. Issues Etc. on-demand audio, available for your convenience at issuesetc.org. 10 hours of new programming each week, issuesetc.org, and click on-demand audio.
Modern clergy lacking knowledge of their faith.
Answers with Ken Ham, an international speaker and author on the creation-evolution controversy.
Well, it's shocking, but it's true. Many pastors today simply don't really fully understand Christianity. For example, a Church of England report said that a significant number of clergy lack theological knowledge and skills despite several years of theological college. And you know, another study said that the British clergy lacked awareness of the implications of different interpretations of the Bible. And more alarming, though, was the statement that the majority is, in general, less grounded in knowledge of the Scriptures. You know, we've seen this alarming trend throughout the Christian church as a whole. Once the church unlocked the doors to the idea of millions of years and began reinterpreting Genesis, the foundations of Scripture and the gospel message began to crumble. And today, the compromise has become so great, even many pastors lack an understanding of all of Scripture. Sadly, we're also seeing the same trend of lack of biblical understanding amongst Christian leaders in America. We need the church leaders to return to the foundations of Genesis.
The church in England is having a difficulty comprehending how the Islamic faith is taking root there. To gain a better understanding, get our audio CD on Islam and the Christian faith. It's for your donation of any amount today. Call us toll-free, 24 hours a day, at 1-888-89-ANSWERS or on the web, answersoffer.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. Half hour left in audio open lines on this Monday. We're listening to some audio from the Saddleback Civil Forum on the presidency. Barack Obama and Senator John McCain together with Rick Warren, each of the men answering questions in kind of a let's hear from him and then let's hear from the other guy forum. And the questions, many of them having to do with the issue of life, marriage. We've heard from Senator McCain on embryonic stem cell research. He's enthusiastic about non-embryonic stem cell sources, but he still supports embryonic stem cell research. What do you think? 1-877-623-MYIE or email us talkback@issuesetc.org. Talkback@issuesetc.org. Well, here's Senator Obama's answer to the same question regarding embryonic stem cell research.
Stem cells. Now, we've had this scientific breakthrough of creating these pluripotent stem cells in adult cells. Do we still need federal funding for research? Would you still support that for embryo stem cell?
Well, keep in mind the way the stem cell legislation that was vetoed by the president was structured. What it said was you could only use embryos that were about to be discarded, that had been created as a consequence of attempts at in vitro fertilization. So there were very tightly circumscribed mechanisms that were permitted. I think that that is a legitimate moral approach to take. If we are going to discard those embryos and we know that there's potential research that could lead to curing debilitating diseases, Alzheimer's, Lou Gehrig's disease, if that possibility presents itself, then I think that we should, in a careful way, go ahead and pursue that research. Now, If, in fact, adult stem cell lines are working just as well, then of course we should try to avoid any kind of moral arguments that may be in place. But I want to make a broader point, Pastor Rick, on an issue like stem cell research. I mean, it's not like people who are in favor of stem cell research are going around thinking to themselves, you know, boy, let's go destroy some embryos, right? I mean, that's not the perspective that I think people come to that issue on. I think what they say is we would not tolerate a situation in which, you know, we're encouraging human cloning or in some ways diminishing the sacredness of human life and what it means to be human, but that, you know, in narrow circumstances, you know, there is nothing inappropriate with us pursuing scientific research that could lead to cures, so long as you know, we're not designing embryos for that purpose.
Okay, what do you make of Obama's response there? A little longer than McCain's, although it seems as though they both said the same thing with regard to adult stem cell sources. Well, if that's proving fruitful, then in Obama's words, he says we need to avoid moral arguments that may come into play. You know, why toy around with ethically questionable sources of stem cells if we're having success with adult stem cells? And that sounded a lot like what Senator McCain had to say. He did make an argument there. Well, if we're going to discard these embryos anyway, shouldn't they at least be used for research? Now, let's just change the words a little bit there. And without changing the meaning, if the embryos are going to be destroyed anyway, then why not destroy them and get some benefit out of them? Sounds pretty cold to me. I mean, one is moved to ask, let's step back even before we make the statement, if they're going to be destroyed or discarded anyway, why do we have to destroy or discard them? Is there some compelling reason why they need to be destroyed or discarded? Are we being forced to destroy them? Are we being forced to discard them? No. So his statement there is built on an assumption that these things are going to be destroyed anyway. Not necessarily. By the way, the question about Senator Obama's support for what would have amounted to infanticide, this is a summary and it's a comment from the National Right to Life Committee's spokesman, Doug Johnson, a very common guest on this program. Quote, newly obtained documents prove that in 2003, Barack Obama, as chairman of an Illinois State Senate committee, voted down a bill to protect live-born survivors of abortion, even after the panel had amended the bill to contain verbatim language copied from a federal bill passed by Congress without objection in 2002, explicitly foreclosing any impact on abortion. Obama's legislative actions in 2003 denying effective protection even to babies born alive during abortions, we're talking here about botched abortions, or so-called botched abortions, were contrary to the positions taken on the same language, even the most liberal members of Congress. The bill Obama killed was virtually identical to the federal bill that even NARAL ultimately did not oppose. So that's the story, at least from Douglas Johnson of National Right to Life, on the bill that the question that the listeners have been asking about. 1-877-623-MY-IE, talkback at issuesetc.org. How would you respond to Senator Obama's position on embryonic stem cell research? Talkback at issuesetc.org, 1-877-623-MY-IE. Okay, let's hear from Senator Obama again. This is what he had to say on the question, the general question of marriage.
Define marriage. I believe that marriage is the union between a man and a woman. Now, for me as a Christian, is also a sacred union. You know, God's in the mix.
Would you support a constitutional amendment with that definition?
No, I would not.
Why not?
And because historically We have not defined marriage in our Constitution. It's been a matter of state law. That has been our tradition. Now, I mean, let's break it down. The reason that people think there needs to be a constitutional amendment, some people believe, is because of the concern that about same-sex marriage. I am not somebody who promotes same-sex marriage, but I do believe in civil unions. I do believe that we should not, that for a gay partners to want to visit each other in a hospital, for the state to say, you know what, that's all right. I don't think in any way inhibits my core beliefs about what marriage are. I think my faith is strong enough and my marriage is strong enough that I can afford those civil rights to others, even if I have a different perspective or a different view.
Okay, how about this?
Okay, Senator Obama is making a line between gay marriage and civil unions, and he seems to have a fairly healthy definition of marriage as a union of one man and one woman, doesn't believe it ought to be enshrined or codified in a constitutional amendment. What do you make of his response? 1-877-623-MYIE, or email us talkback@issuesetc.org. Talkback@issuesetc.org. I suspect that that answer, and this is where survey questions sometimes come into play, that that answer probably satisfied 85% of the people listening, either there at Saddleback or elsewhere. People who believe in a traditional marriage, they said, okay, fine. Marriage is a man and a woman. If homosexual couples want to do something else and call it a civil union and it only has to do with their civil rights, then go knock yourself out. Does it satisfy you? 1-877-623-MYIE or talkback@issuesetc.org. Here's McCain on marriage.
Define marriage.
Union. A union between man and woman, between one man and one woman. That's my definition of marriage. Are we going to get back to the importance of Supreme Court justices, or should I mention
it? We will get to that.
Okay, all right. Okay. When we speak of the issue of the rights of the unborn, we need to talk about judges.
Well, let me just ask you a question related to that. We've got a bill right here in California, Proposition H,
yes,
that's going on because the court overturned
yes
this definition of marriage. Was this the Supreme Court of California wrong?
I believe they were wrong, and I strongly support preserving the unique status of marriage between man and woman. And I'm a federalist. I believe in that states should make those decisions. In my state, I hope we will make that decision. In other states, they have, to recognize the unique status of marriage between man and woman. And that means, that does mean that people can't enter into legal agreements. That doesn't mean that that they don't have the rights of all citizens. I'm not saying that. I am saying that we should preserve the unique status of marriage between one man and one woman. And if a federal court decided that my state of Arizona had to observe what the state of Massachusetts decided, then I would favor a constitutional amendment. Until then, I believe the states should make the decisions within their own states.
Okay, so what do you think about his response? That's Senator McCain on marriage. 1-877-623-MYIE. It's Monday, August the 18th. I'm Todd Wilkin. You're listening to Issues Etc. It's a little bit of audio open lines. We're listening to some audio, some answers to the questions posed by Rick Warren at the Saddleback Civil Forum on the presidency from Senator John McCain and Senator Barack Obama. We've talked about abortion, embryonic stem cell research, and they've talked a bit about marriage and gay marriage. When we come back, we'll hear what Senator McCain and Obama consider to be their greatest moral failures. Now, see, I think that's another great question for a prospective president. I mean, if only to get an insight into one's mind. 1-877-623-MYIE. Talkback@issuesetc.org. We've got nothing against bumper stickers, just bumper sticker theology. And we'd like to send you the new Issues Etc. bumper sticker. You'll find the Issues Etc. logo, slogan, and website address. Simply send your request to Lutheran Public Radio, 1600 Gulfview Drive, Suite 230, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Please include a self-addressed stamped envelope. Good theology doesn't fit on a bumper sticker, but you can tell people where to find good theology, the new Issues Etc. bumper or window sticker.
Here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Help inform your fellow parishioners about Issues Etc. issuesetc.org, click promote, and copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. We update this paragraph weekly. IssuesETC.org.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Zion Lutheran, Greenfield, Wisconsin. Pilgrim Lutheran, West Bend, Wisconsin. Messiah Lutheran, Lebanon, Illinois. Zion Lutheran, Accident, Maryland. Redeemer Lutheran, Jackson, Wyoming. Messiah Lutheran, Marysville, Washington. Trinity Lutheran, Millstadt, Illinois. Our Savior Lutheran, Houston, Texas. St. Matthew's Lutheran, Bon Terre, Missouri. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Lincoln, Nebraska. Hope Lutheran, St. Louis, Missouri. Trinity Lutheran, Austin, Texas. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Collinsville, Illinois. Luther Memorial Chapel, Shorewood, Wisconsin. Christ Lutheran, Oak Park, Illinois. Bethany Lutheran, Naperville, Illinois. Emmanuel Lutheran, Dearborn, Michigan. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click Sponsors. The Issues Etc. 300. Ten more minutes in audio open lines, listening to the Saddleback Civil Forum on the Presidency. Selected questions and answered. Rick Warren asking the questions, and the two senators, Obama and McCain, the two prospective presidential candidates, giving their answers. 1-877-623-MYIE, or email us talkback at issuesetc.org, talkback at issuesetc.org. In just a minute, both of the senators, both of the candidates' biggest moral failing. Michelle in Campbell, California writes us. She says, congratulations on your return to the airwaves. Thank you so much, Michelle. A quick comment, she writes. Obama said that if it turns out that there are ways of, if there are ways of obtaining stem cells without using embryonic cells, then of course we would go that route. End quote. She says, I'm paraphrasing. Why would we go that route if there's nothing wrong with harvesting embryonic stem cells? It's a great question, Michelle. It's the same question, in essence, as why would you want to reduce the number of abortions if abortion isn't wrong? Why do you want abortion to be rare if you consider it to be a fundamental constitutional and human right? What other human right, what other constitutional right would you prefer be rare? The right to free speech, a free press? Free assembly? To be securing your person? I mean, these are all fundamental rights enshrined in our Constitution, but we want none of them to be rare. Why should abortion be rare if there's nothing wrong with it and if it is a fundamental human right? I just can't think of another right that we would restrict and want to rarefy. Matt in Nebraska emails us. He says, do the current laws in states not allow for an individual to grant certain rights concerning visits in hospitals, power of attorney, life and death decisions, etc., to individuals with whom they are not married? Perhaps you could find a legal expert who could discuss this issue. It seems to me that if all that the homosexuals wanted could be solved without changing any marriage laws. In fact, we've talked about this with Dr. John Warwick Montgomery on the program before. And he has stated with a certain amount of firmness that there is nothing legally that the gay activists, the gay marriage activists, are seeking in marriage that they do not already possess legally without the institution of marriage. There's no reason for marriage except one, which Dr. Montgomery is quick to point out, that is the sanction of society, legitimacy. Next, from Saturday's Saddleback Summit, Senator John McCain on his own personal greatest moral failure.
This is a character question.
I hope they get easier.
this one isn't any easier. We've had a lot of leaders, because of their weaknesses, character flaws, stumble, become ineffective, or not even serving anymore, serving our country. What's been your greatest moral failure, and what has been what do you think is the greatest moral failure of America?
They don't get any easier.
No, they don't get any easier.
My greatest moral failing, and I have been a very imperfect person, is the failure of my first marriage. It's my greatest moral failure. I think America's greatest moral failure has been, throughout our existence, perhaps we have not devoted ourselves to causes greater than our self-interest, although we've been the best at it of anybody in the world. I think after 9/11, my friends, instead of telling people to go shopping or take a trip, we should have told Americans to join the Peace Corps, AmeriCorps, the military, expand our volunteer, expand what you're doing. Expand the great missions that you are doing, that you're carrying out not only here in America, but throughout the world, especially in Rwanda. And I hope we have a chance to talk a little bit about that later on. And you know, I'm a little pandering here. The first words of your very successful book is, "This is not about you." And you know what that really also means? Serve a cause greater than your self-interest.
All right. Are you glad that Senator McCain admitted his moral failure with regard to his first marriage, that, as far as I have heard, failed tragically? 1-877-623-MYIE. You can also email us in the last few minutes of the program today on this Monday, August the 18th. We're listening to Saddleback's Civil Forum on the Presidency Selected Questions and Answers. 1-877-623-MYIE or talk back at issues.etc.org. Finally, the same question for Senator Obama, his greatest moral failing.
This is a tough question. What would be, looking over your life, everybody's got weaknesses, nobody's perfect, would be the greatest moral failure in your life, and what would be the greatest moral failure of America?
Well, in my own life, I'd break it up in stages. When I had a difficult youth. My father wasn't in the house. I've written about this. There were times where I experimented with drugs, I drank in my teenage years, and what I trace this to is a certain selfishness on my part. I was so obsessed with me and the reasons that I might be dissatisfied that I couldn't focus on other people. And I think the process for me of growing up was to recognize that it's not about me. Mm-hmm. It's about...
I like that. I like that.
It's about... absolutely. So. But look, when I find myself taking the wrong step, I think a lot of the times it's because I'm trying to protect myself instead of trying to do God's will.
Fundamental selfishness.
And so that, I think, is my own failure. Now,
what about America?
Now, I think America's greatest moral failure in my lifetime has been that we still don't abide by that basic precept in Matthew, that whatever you do for the least of my brothers, you do for
you
me.
For me.
And that notion of that basic principle applies to poverty. Mm-hmm. It applies to racism and sexism. Mm-hmm. It applies to not having not thinking about providing ladders of opportunity for people to get into the middle class. There's a pervasive sense, I think, that this country, as wealthy and powerful as we are, still don't spend enough time thinking about the least of these.
Okay, the only question, Rick Warren has said that he wished he'd had the opportunity to ask follow-ups. The only question I wish he would have asked right then, right there, of Senator Obama is, would you include among the least of these my brothers the unborn? That would have been a great question. Unexpected, probably the only time Senator Obama would get asked that question. Still time for your reaction to the responses of both the senators, Obama and McCain, on their greatest moral failing, the greatest moral failing of America. 1-877-623-MYIE or talkback at issuesetc.org. This email comes from Rebecca in Illinois. According to Slate, the Democratic Party platform of 2008 finally dropped its old abortion language, safe, legal, and rare, which had asked women not just having abortions unless they absolutely must. The 2008 platform, just announced, says instead, quote, the Democratic Party strongly and unequivocally supports Roe v. Wade and a woman's right to choose a safe and legal abortion regardless of ability to pay, and we oppose any and all efforts to weaken or undermine that right, end quote. Should a woman desire to bear a child, the Democrats advocate prenatal care, income support, and adoption programs to help her there too. But in the new world of the new Democratic platform, it's the woman's decision to make. I think it always has been for pro-choicers. The woman's decision to make. It was the last presidential election, a ill-fated candidacy, that of General Wesley Clark. In a moment that I probably imagine he regrets, a moment of honesty, he said in answer to a question, when does life begin? He's a pro-choicer. His response was, life begins at the mother's decision. I've never heard a more honest answer from someone who's pro-choice in my life. It doesn't begin at conception. It doesn't begin at birth. It begins when the mother decides it begins. If she wants to keep her baby, it's a baby. If she doesn't, it's dispensable. It may be alive, it may be human, it's still dispensable. And if you boil it down, all of the fancy rhetoric and arguments and evasions of the pro-life, of the pro-choice position, come down to that, well, life, it just begins when the mother decides it begins. Tomorrow on the program, Dr. Jay Bujaszewski will join us from the University of Texas to talk about how to stay Christian in college. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues, Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues, Etc., P.O. Box 1046, San Juan Capistrano, California, 92693. Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues, Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.